Where does a turning point come from? The source of a turning point can only be one place. It stems from us, and the meaning that we give to a direct and personal experience in our lives. The key here is that it's our experience. It's not something that other people from our workplace say they learned from their favorite reality TV program, or something that our religious organizations tell us we should be feeling, or something that our families say is so because they've always accepted it. A turning point can only become real for us when we are the ones who have the experience. It's the result of something that moves us so deeply that we must shift our beliefs to match the facts of our experience. Such turning points commonly come to us in one of two ways, or a combination of the two, either as a discovery that changes the way we think and what we believe, or as a paradigm-altering event that changes the way we see the world. It's through precisely these kinds of experiences that great teachers often help their students cross the gap between their limiting beliefs and the possibilities of their own power. They do so by showing them something or by creating a paradigm-altering experience for them. Either way, the student must then incorporate the lesson into his or her own thinking and beliefs. The Himalayan spiritual master, Jetsun Milarepa, for example, an 11th century yogi, led his students into a state of consciousness that allowed them to move their hands through the solid rock that formed the walls of the caves that they had used as their classrooms. By doing so, the students discovered for themselves that they were limited not by the walls of the cave itself, but by their beliefs about the walls. I've experienced these teaching caves personally during my pilgrimages to the Tibetan Plateau. I've actually placed my hands into the impressions that the master's hands left in the stone. And even the remnants of such demonstrations have a powerful effect upon those who see them for themselves. In more recent times, a similar effect has been used to teach the students of martial arts about their beliefs as well. We've all seen demonstrations of martial artists breaking through a stack of concrete blocks with a single blow from a bare hand. While this kind of demonstration is definitely dramatic and it's amazing to see, what's not often obvious to those watching is that the feat is less about the artist's strength and will to break the block and more about the belief and the power of the martial artist's focus. From personal experience, I can share that the secret to breaking the concrete blocks, or the stacks of wood that are sometimes used, is where the student places his or her attention. The martial artist is trained to identify a point in space just slightly below the bottom of the lowest block. This point is the key to the entire demonstration. The martial artist isn't thinking about how hard he or she will have to strike or how thick the block is. In fact, other than using the bottom of the block as a reference point, he or she isn't even thinking about the block at all. The whole point of the exercise is that for just an instant, the thoughts, feelings, emotions, and beliefs of the martial artist's body, mind, and soul are totally focused on a single point in space and time, the point just below the block. That is the rendezvous point in space where his or her hand will complete a motion. In that moment of focus, nothing else exists, including the concrete block. Such a demonstration actually meets the criteria for both previously identified turning point sources. The act itself is a paradigm-altering event that changes the way the person feels about his or her relationship with the world, and the fact that the martial artist accomplished the feat becomes the discovery, providing the factual evidence that the feat is even possible. Both criteria create the need for a shift in thinking. One summer, two global turning points. We've all experienced turning points in our lives, although some are more memorable than others. In the summer of 1969, I experienced two turning points that changed my life, and they both happened within less than a month of each other. I was on a break from school that summer and working on a ranch in southern Missouri. The near 100-degree temperature combined with the near 100% humidity that's typical at that time of year pretty much assured that every outdoor activity would be a miserable experience. And this was especially true for my main job of bucking wire-bound bales of hay from the ground up onto the back of a slow-moving truck. Walking alongside the vehicle, I would lift each 60-pound bale by the wire that bound it together and catapult, or buck, that bale onto the truck to be stacked just as the vehicle arrived at the next bale, where the crew and I would repeat the sequence. This went on for hours at a time. I look forward to dinner each evening not only to find relief from the dust, insects, humidity, and heat, but also because it was the only opportunity to watch the evening news and connect with the rest of the world. Turning point number one, to the moon. There was a tiny black and white television in the dining room where everyone at the ranch would gather for meals. The TV was in one corner of the room and the volume was usually turned so low that we could only guess what the people in the grainy images were saying. One night, however, that changed. As the drone of voices at the table fell silent for the dinner prayer, the words that were coming from the TV were unmistakable. "That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind," the voice said. I felt the wave of two very different realities pulse through my body as I listened to the words. One from the world that separated us from one another before the announcement, and one from the world where the separation disappeared, if only briefly afterward. The words were from Neil Armstrong, and his voice was traveling from the ladder of a fragile spacecraft on the surface of another world across space to the television networks around the Earth and to the little TV in front of me. The first human had just set foot on the moon, and through the recording, I was reliving the moment it happened. This was the moment that humankind's collective view of itself from countless generations past suddenly gave way to a new and expanded vision of hope and possibility. It changed me forever. It changed the way I felt about the world. It changed the way I felt about the people in the world. And I wasn't alone. On that day, we were a global family, beyond Americans, Europeans, Asians, Australians, and Africans. In that moment, we were human beings, and we just accomplished something that until that day had been only the stuff of dreams. Suddenly, it all became real. We were on the moon, and I felt it in my body. That moment was a turning point for me, and I remember it vividly to this day.